credit for being a Christian. You get credit for serving the Master.
Dr. Tony Evans talks about the rewards in store for believers who invest God's resources wisely.
And using the time and the talents and the treasures that He has entrusted to you for the benefit of others to His glory.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. There's nothing we can do to earn our salvation, but today Dr. Evans says there's plenty we can do to make the most of it. Let's join him as he explains.
Jesus Christ speaks to why having a future perspective, an eternal perspective, is absolutely critical for your earthly life now. And one of the ways he would teach us about this is through a story that the Bible, the New Testament, the Gospels call parables. Jesus says that a nobleman was going away, referring to himself, and he called 10 of his servants. And he told his servants, I'm leaving, but I want to give each of you 10 minas. A mina is an amount of money. He says, I'm going to give you each 10 minas during my absence, and during the time I'm not here, your job is to do business till I return. That's your job in this gap between my first coming and second coming. In our case, between our salvation and our trip to heaven, I'm going to give you 10 minutes and I want you to do business till I come. So during this time when you're waiting for me to return, I don't want you to be passive. I don't want you to be aimless. I want you to get some business done until I come. He leaves each of them 10 minutes. And he uses the money to talk about something bigger than money. He uses minas, but he's talking about something bigger. He's talking about life. All of us have three of the same things. Everybody here has three of the very same things. The first thing that all of us have is time. Now, we don't have the same amount of time. We're not all going to live to the same age, but we all have time because we're alive. The second thing all of us have are talents. We have varying abilities. We don't have the same talents, but we've all been given capacity to do things for the king and for his kingdom, since the parable is about the king going to get a kingdom. We don't all have the same abilities. We don't all do the same thing, but we all have some capacity to serve the king and the kingdom. The third thing that all of us have are varying degrees of treasures, resources. Everybody doesn't make the same thing. Everybody doesn't have the same amount. But we all have some level of resource. So you all have time. We all have talents. We all have varying amounts of treasures. But we're not all equally valuable to the kingdom when it comes to doing business till he comes. Valuable as people, but he's not talking about our value as people. All 10 were servants. All 10 belong to the nobleman. All 10 belong to the master. He says you are to do business until the nobleman, in the story, the king, returns. So God did not save you and leave you here with a certain amount of time, talents, and treasures to forget him. In fact, he left you here, and the reason he didn't take you to heaven the moment you were saved is because there was a work he expected you to do, and he calls that work business. You and I are stewards of what we have been left with while we live here since salvation. He's been rejected in verse 14, and therefore he's absent right now. But verse 15 says, when he returned, he called the first guy. He said, now I gave you 10 minas. Show me what you got. He says, Master, you gave me 10, and I made 10 more. In other words, Master, there's 100% return. I'm not just giving you back what you gave. I'm doubling what you gave me. And here's 10 more. I expanded what you gave me. The response of the master was accolades. Well done, my good and faithful servant. I am going to put you over 10 cities. Please notice something. The reward was consistent with the expansion. You got 10 minutes. You made 10. I'm going to give you 10 cities. And I'm going to give you 10 cities based on the expansion of what I originally gave you. I gave you time and you expanded it from me. I gave you talent. You expanded it from me. I gave you treasures. You expanded it from me. And I'm going to reflect that. And I'm going to give you 10 cities. We're told next that the second guy comes. And the second guy says, Master, your mina master has made 5 minas. I had 50% increase. I got 5. The master says, you are over 5 cities. Notice what he didn't say. Well done. He only said well done to the first guy because the first guy maximized the opportunities. Then we are introduced to homeboy number 3. Another came saying, Master. Oh, now he talking right. I mean, he talking right. He's talking like a committed follower. He says, Master. Like folk in church hollering out, Jesus. You sound good. Master. His terminology was accurate. Here is your mina. Here's what you left me, which I kept put away in a handkerchief. He says, I was afraid because you are an exacting man. You take what you did not lay down and you reap what you did not sow. In other words, you're hard to please. In other words, you have high expectations. In other words, your demands are not minimal. You expect significant. You're too serious. I didn't want to risk losing your mina. And so because I didn't want to risk losing it, I did actually nothing with it. Because it was too risky knowing how tough a guy you are. Let's look at this third guy. He's a servant. And he's got the right terminology, but he did nothing with the time, the talents, and the treasures except give back what he got. He said to him in verse 22, by your own words, I will judge you, you worthless slave. Do you know that I am an exacting man? Did you know that I'm an exacting man, taking up what I did not lay down, reaping where I did not sow? Then why did you not put my money in the bank? At least I would have collected some interest. You worthless slave. How would you feel about an employee you hired for the job, but their attitude was, at least I'm here. Now, I'm not doing much, but I came to work. It's like folk will say, at least I'm in church. I'm here. Being here does not make you valuable. Just showing up on the job doesn't mean you're valuable to the company. I'm here because I've been hired, I've been saved, I've been born again. The master says to him, you call me master, but it hadn't changed anything you do. It hadn't changed any of your priorities. There's still no time, talents, or treasures used for me, my kingdom, my name, and the good of others. But you call me master. Your theology has not affected your activity. And that has made you valueless to my kingdom. And you are a worthless Christian. Are there any worthless Christians in the house? You got the Christian terminology. You'll call him Jesus Master. Chapter 14 of Luke. He says in verse 12, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors. Otherwise, they may also invite you in return, and that will be your repayment. But when you give a reception, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, since they do not have the means to repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. God gives credit for what you do in his name for his kingdom to benefit others when you do not require anything in return. When you require a return, that's secular business. Nothing wrong with secular business. That's how you do secular business. You require a return. You got to pay me for this product or pay me for this service. What God gives credit for is when you do it for his name and the good of others and expect payment from him, not them. And from this parable, when God pays, he pays big. I mean, I made 10 talents and you're going to give me 10 whole cities to run. Bible speaks about a hundredfold repayment. So those of you who are here today and you're living the best Christian life you know how, you're giving your time, your talents, and your treasures for God's kingdom, and it's not been fair to you. It's not been right by you. Guess what God says? I think it's in Matthew chapter 5 around verse 11. He says, when you're having to pay a price for doing right, notice what he says. He says, rejoice. Wait a minute. How am I going to rejoice when I'm not being treated right? He says, because your reward is rich. He gives us some things now, but he's talking about the big payday. He says, you worthless slave, you wouldn't even go to a bank. Now, why wouldn't he at least put it in the bank? Because the bank keeps records. When you deposit in the bank, there's a record. He puts it in a handkerchief because he does not want a record. Does not want a record of where this money is. Why not? In case the king doesn't come back, I still got my mina. I still got my time. I still got my talent. I can live my life the way I want to live it. So I'm going to do like the man did in the lilies of the field when Sidney Poitier went to the businessman to make a donation. And the man said, you know, I don't really believe in God. But when they started building the chapel for the nuns, he's on top of the roof. And Sidney Poitier said, but I thought you didn't believe in God. Are you helping to build a chapel? The businessman said, well, just in case.
Dr. Evans will have more to say about people who hedge their bets on eternity when he comes back in a moment to wrap up this final message of his brand new series, The Eternal Perspective. As we've learned, this 10-lesson collection explains how your eternal future can change your present life, giving you deeper assurance than you ever imagined and the kind of riches money can't buy. Today, for the last time, we're offering them as our gift. All we ask in return is that you make a donation, any donation, no matter the amount, to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station. So call us at 1-800-800-3222 or visit TonyEvans.org today to get your copy of The Eternal Perspective before time runs out at the end of the day. Again, that's TonyEvans.org. I'll have our contact information for you again later on after Dr. Evans brings us part two of today's lesson.
See, God has some just-in-case Christians. Yeah, just in case he comes back, I at least want to have this little bit in the handkerchief. So at least I'll be able to say, I went to church. I was religious. I say grace before my meal. But if you ask me, what time did I use to invest in kingdom purpose? How did I use the talents that I use in the marketplace to make money for me and still use some of those talents to do something for others that brings them glory. I used my treasure to buy everything I wanted for me. Some of you are here with stolen clothes on. Some of you drove here with stolen cars. Some of us are living in stolen houses because we robbed God to do it. So God, yeah, I got a minute. There's not much to show, but at least I got a little something. I went to church. He says, you worthless Christian. Because you're a servant. You're a servant. I left you here and you are absolutely of no value to me. There were people I wanted you to touch, lives I wanted you to change. There was ministry I wanted you to do. I had a plan for your life. And all I heard from you was, bless me, bless me, bless me, now bless me, bless me. Highly favored. Less than highly favored. Says, you worthless slave. So what are we going to do with him, Lord? He says in verse 24, tell the bystanders to take the minas away from him and give it to the one who has the 10 minas. Tell the bystanders. So this is everybody watching your conversation with Jesus. This is all the other Christian friends that you knew who looking at your evaluation and your accountability and watching Jesus call you worthless. And then take his minas and give it. Let's give a bonus to the one who did 10. We're going to give him a bonus. See, because there are a few people here who not only going to get the 10 minas, they're going to get the bonus. And the bonus will be God taken from you and given to them so that you wind up in heaven with less. You don't even wind up with what you started with because he's going to take that mina that you used for nothing and hand it to somebody who went all out for the kingdom and for eternity. What's the principle? What's the principle? The people say, but Master, the guy already has 10. He says, well, let me tell you the principle. I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given, but the one who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. You don't get credit just for being a servant. You're saved by grace. You don't get credit for that. That's all of God. You don't get credit for being a Christian. You get credit for serving the Master and using the time and the talents and the treasures that he has entrusted to you for his glory, to advance his kingdom for the benefit of others to his glory. That's what he credits. You don't get credit for going to church. You don't get credit for saying I accepted Jesus when I was 10 years old. He says you accepted me when you were 10. You're now 70. Let's discuss 60 years of time that I gave you, of talents that I gave you, of treasures that I gave you over that 60-year period of time. Let's talk about that. Yeah, you get heaven because you're saved, but you get rewarded because you're a servant. So there's going to be a lot of transfer of wealth in heaven. See, this third guy didn't take the king seriously. They didn't live in light of his return. He didn't live in light of his return. God wants every day that you get up, I get up, and we all fall short in this, me too. But as a pattern, he wants when we get up in the morning to live in light of his return. That because it could be today, the question that you and I have to ask when we get up in the morning is simply this. God, what eternal difference do you want me to make today? Some days they'll be minuscule, other days they'll be huge, but it's being available. Lord, if you want to borrow some of your time, you loan me. If you want to borrow some of your talents, you loan me. If you want to borrow some of your treasure, you loaned me. Then I am available today, not just to ask you to bless me. I'm available today for you to work through me to be a blessing to others and to build my account for glory. Bring me the rope. This red part of the rope represents your life and time. The rest of this rope is eternity. And you can't see where it ends. This red part of your rope is 50, 60, 70, 80, maybe 90 years. God has said, from the point you are converted, I will measure how much you use this for that. Most of us use this for this. We go to high school, to go to college, to get a master's, maybe get a doctorate. And then look, if you spend all that education, you only got that much left to use it for. That's all you got. You spend 30, 40 years to building your career for the next few years for it to end. Because you're on death row. You just need to know that. We're all on death row. God says, I'm going to measure this by how it impacted this, and this never ends. So if you live for this, this is all you get. If you put all your marbles in the time basket and you stand before God with that one mina that you did not invest, you're losing. And look how much you lose, because there is no end. But he says, if you will invest in eternity while you're in time, you gain so much more.
Dr. Evans has a great way to illustrate that point, and he'll share it with us in just a moment when he comes back to wrap up his current series, The Eternal Perspective. First, though, I don't want you to miss your last chance to get all 10 CDs in this collection in appreciation for any donation you can make to help us keep this program coming your way. We depend completely on the faithful support of friends like you to do that. So visit TonyEvans.org today, make whatever contribution God leads you to make, and we'll respond by sending you a copy of The Eternal Perspective. You can make all the arrangements by calling us at 1-800-800-3222, where members of our resource team are manning the phones day and night. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222. Or just go online and visit TonyEvans.org. When a problem becomes more than a problem, when it becomes so deeply rooted that it feels like you can never dig out, that's what the Bible calls a stronghold. But they can be overcome. And tomorrow, Dr. Evans will launch a new series that tells us how. Right now, though, he's back with a final illustration for today.
I don't like squash. I call it the unholy vegetables. I don't like squash, nor its cousin okra. Okay? But suppose you told me, Evans, I want to make a deal with you. I'd say, okay, what's the deal? I know you don't like squash. But I tell you what, if you will eat squash for a year, for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, for a year, for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, 3 meals a day of squash, I will pay all your bills for the rest of your life. My view of squash has greatly changed. I'll never look at squash the way I used to look at it again, because the reward for the inconvenience is so much greater. What God says, if I can get you to see the eternal perspective, the reward for the inconvenience is going to be so much greater if you live this life with that life in mind.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.